verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever watched a movie or started a movie and it felt like it kind of started right in the middle, right at the end? Like, what is going on? I don't know what's happening. We need a little context. You need to be caught up. If you try to watch any of the Marvel movies these days, I think they're still coming out with Marvel movies. If you try to watch one and you haven't seen any of the ones that have come before it, you might be lost. Why is Spider-Man in space? I'm sorry if that's a spoiler if you haven't paid attention. Spider-Man ends up in space. We need context. We need to watch some of the other movies. We need to know what is happening. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. We've started our scripture this morning halfway through the chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke. This is near the end. We've picked up at the end. Now, this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be telling two very familiar stories. So perhaps you already know what's going on. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's being welcomed in triumphantly. It seems as though the entire city is welcoming Jesus like a king. And of course, we'll remember throughout the rest of the week that that crowd that welcomes Jesus like a king will turn on him. And it'll be these same folks that are saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, this king that has come to liberate us, to bring us safety and to save us," will be the same ones on that Good Friday that are saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." You've heard all this talk before from preachers on Palm Sundays and Good Fridays and perhaps even Easter. Greg, have you said those words yourself, right? This is a common thing. One of the things that we like to lift up on Palm Sunday is how the crowd will turn on Jesus. But we've started in the middle, and we need to go back and get some of the context, the early story, in order to understand Jesus' life, death, his resurrection, his teachings. We have to be grounded in the Jewish faith. We have to understand what they understood. Okay, so are you ready? We'll go back a little ways. The most important story for the Jewish faith is the Exodus. Okay, are you familiar with the Exodus? We'll keep going with our movie references. If you're unfamiliar, pull up The Prince of Egypt this afternoon. Does a really good job. It's a good movie. Does great. The story of Moses leading God's people out of slavery in Egypt. The Ten Commandments. Pharaoh parting the Red Sea. Pharaoh and the army coming after them. The Red Sea swallowing them up. The people then going for 40 years through the desert, led by God's Spirit in the form of a pillar of fire during the day and or at night, and then a cloud during the day. God leading the people through the wilderness. This is the story. So when our scripture says that Jesus went ahead to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, this is what Jesus and his disciples are going to do. They're going to celebrate the most important story of their faith. This time where all of the people were held in slavery in Egypt, where they cried out for generations, God, deliver us, save us from this slavery. And God, through Moses, delivered the people against the most powerful Pharaoh, the most powerful country that had been enslaving them. Through against all those odds and through so many things, God delivers them. This is their story. And so, as you can imagine, Madeline spoke about the Romans during Jesus' time. They find themselves and they imagine themselves in slavery once again. We are not a free people. We have these overlords, this Caesar, this Pilate, Herod, all of these vassal leaders. We are not free people. We are slaves in a sense. And they've been crying out, God, deliver us. And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem to deliver them. Here is Jesus coming to deliver the people from their bondage. There's a celebration. Finally, just as God sent Moses and was with Moses to deliver the people from Egypt, God is moving through this Jesus to deliver us from these Romans. This is a truly great celebration. And I think that Jesus was aware of all of these things. I think Jesus knew how excited the people were. I think Jesus understood that his role in delivering the people was not this military expectation that the people probably had. He wasn't going to kick out Pilate and Herod and the Romans with the sword. I think Jesus knew that, even if the people around him did not understand that. Jesus did. And so this entire story, this picture of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding this young colt, is also from their history. This prophet Hosea, who prophesied that the king would come not adorned in some royal kingly procession, but riding on the back of a donkey. And Jesus is aware of all of these things, and he sets the stage. He invites his disciples to go and to find that colt. So this is a time during Passover where there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of expectation. There's a lot of remembering their past, expecting something magical and incredible to happen, imagining someone like Jesus coming in to kick these Romans out. Now, if you'll also remember, the Romans had some inside people, these Pharisees and these scribes, the ones that were religious leaders, but were also in the pocket of the Romans. So the Romans understand what's happening. The Romans have been talking to these Pharisees, and they understand that there's a lot of energy and a lot of rebellious fervor with the people. And Rome does what Rome and any of those strong people do. They set out their own parades. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is set directly opposed to Pilate coming into Jerusalem. Pilate would have come in during this time with all the expectation that God was going to deliver the people as a big, bad Roman occupier. Pilate comes in with his big horse. Every time Madeline and I are driving through the country, we do the thing, we point out all the horses. Ooh, look, a horse. And for some reason, seeing a white horse out in the pasture just makes it even more exciting. Maybe that's just Madeline, I don't know. It's like, oh, a white horse. We saw a baby white horse the other day. I imagine Pilate coming in on this big white war horse, surrounded by the other legions, this huge show of power. Sure, you might think that your God is going to deliver you once again around this same time, but me, Pilate, I am here to put those worries to rest. So yeah, I turn that around. It's not a worry of the people. It's a worry of Rome and for Pilate. This will not happen. we have too much strength. Look at me up on my big white war horse. Look at my legions and all of our swords, our shields, our power. There is nothing that your God can do to deliver you. And Pilate rides in from the west. Well, Jesus comes in from the east, this deliverer, this person who is to liberate the people, to kick the Romans out. Just picture it. Imagine it. Pilate with his army coming in from one side, Jesus, this different opponent coming in from the other, and this excitement of the meeting in the middle. Unlike Pilate with his big war horse and his army, Jesus walks in on the back of a donkey, this colt that has never been ridden, this untrained, tiny beast of burden, not with soldiers and swords and shields and power, but with a bunch of peasants who don't even have cloaks on because they've taken them all off, who are cutting greenery to wave around, who are singing the old church songs, the Psalms, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." I imagine Pilate hearing about this, being really puffed up about it. This is who you think your God is sending to deliver you? This guy ain't nothing. I told you guys I play kickball every now and then. A bunch of adults, because we can't grow up. So we play kickball. Now, my kickball team is pretty good. We're kind of like the Pilate and the Romans of the league sometimes. And when you sign up for kickball, you can sign up with other people, or you can sign up as a free agent, just a group of random people. We love, my team, to show up on a Wednesday to play kickball, and it's a bunch of free agents that have no idea what they're doing. We know this is going to be a good game for us. We're trying to score double digits. There is a mercy rule. You can't score more than 7 runs in any inning. We're itching. It's so much fun for us. Some of the free agent teams don't come back or finish the year because they get beat so bad. Lent's the time of confession. I guess I needed to confess that. I imagine Pilate being like my kickball team. We're going to wipe these guys out. They don't stand a chance. Look at them. I'm not afraid of their God. That's all they have, and that's nothing. We've got swords and shields and strength and power. It does not matter what this Jesus and his peasants bring against us. We will prevail. This is Palm Sunday. This is what Jesus brings to Jerusalem. This is what Jesus brings to our lives. Not physical power. Not military strength. When the Pilate shows up with his big military parade, Jesus is on the other side as an alternative, coming lowly, but with God on his side. This is a protest. Pilate can come in on that side. God comes in on this side. And the people of Jerusalem get to decide which direction they're going. Are they going to go and visit and celebrate with Pilate, with the Romans, with those who value military strength, with those who believe that they can bully and push their way through and keep control and power of their subjects? Or are the people of Jerusalem going to turn to God and Christ, who comes into the city not with that strength, not with the power, not with any sort of military might, but with God and a promise of deliverance from that very strength that feels good, but is really oppressive? This Palm Sunday, this entrance into Jerusalem, is the people's opportunity to pick a side, to decide what their value, who they're going to value, the powers of this world or Christ and all that he brings, love and mercy and forgiveness. the Jesus that tells his followers to put away your swords, to turn those swords into plows, to love one another, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and the imprisoned. The people are given a chance and an opportunity to pick and to decide who they're going to follow. So that's what our Palm Sunday is. Do we follow Jesus? Do we seek God's Son? Or do we turn to the strength and the might of this world, who feels good to be on his side, but who ultimately, at the end, is defeated? Amen.